Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the All Day SJ Show. I'm your host, Stephen Johnson, and as the first season of the All Day SJ Show begins to conclude, we will now get into the stages of the show where fans and listeners of the show speak out. Joining me right now is a good friend of mine, a very knowledgeable person when it comes to sports, and one of the most diehard NBA fans I know. He is Fred Jordan. Freddie J, what's up, my brother?
What's going on, man? What's going on, man? Good to hear you.
It's good to hear you too, man. Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, dude. I appreciate it. Like I just said in the introduction, very knowledgeable about your NBA and other sports in general. And we in that stage of my show now where I want to give my listeners and my fans a platform to speak out on what they know and how they feel about certain issues going on in the sports world right now. And, you know, I mentioned that you are a huge NBA fan. You comment on it a lot. I want to get your thoughts on the season thus far. You know, we got Kyrie's MVP campaign with Boston, LeBron tearing it up in his 15th season, the Warriors, Joel Embiid, James Harden. Like, what's your thoughts on the season thus far?
It's been a great season, man. It's been a great season from the Thunder's issues, you know, handling, you know, how they haven't been winning to LeBron. I mean, I'm the biggest LeBron fan. The man is a monster. The man is a monster. I can't believe what he's doing in his 15th season at that. And then you have, you know, Kyrie balling out, you know, wearing his own team, wearing his own thing. And the funny thing is, the other day what I noticed, they ended up losing. They got blown out by the Chicago Bulls, one of the worst teams in the NBA without Kyrie Irving.
Right.
So I think he definitely needs to be at the top of the MVP conversation, in my opinion. Although you always have LeBron there and guys like James Harden. But, I mean, with Kyrie needs that team, I mean, you take Harden away, you still the Rockets are having a tremendous year. But Chris Paul has had a big impact on that team. His efficiency is at an all-time high. Word up to Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, man, former Lakers coach Mike D'Antoni. We're going to get your opinion on that later on. And, Freddie, I agree with you, man. This NBA season, it has everything that a lot of people have been complaining about when it comes to the league over the last few years. There's parity, there's competitiveness, and there's just a huge platform for a lot of these younger stars. Like I mentioned, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Giannis Antetokounmpo. A lot of these young stars are really taking that next step, and it's bringing like that competitive fire back to the league. You even mentioned Kyrie Irving. I talked about this in my last show. It's good to see that a guy like that has embraced the challenge of not wanting to play with the best player in the league, but beat him. He, in essence, told LeBron, you know, I don't need you to win. I could be the best player on a championship team, or the best player on a contending team. And he's really taken that ball and ran with it up in Boston. And I think that is, I think that's more than likely going to be your Eastern Conference Finals matchup if someone like the 76ers don't pick up another veteran, because they have the young talent to make a run. And it's really good to see that both conferences, the East and the West, are the strongest that they have been in years. Do you think there's a legit chance that we don't see Warriors versus Cavaliers Part 4 in the finals? And if so, who do you think has the best chance to dethrone the Warriors or Cleveland?
No chance. Stop it at that. Unless LeBron James breaks both his legs and Kevin Durant and it's tough. In the West, it's so tough because the Rockets are really good this year with Chris Paul. But we've never seen Chris Paul do it. If Chris Paul comes up short again, I mean, he might be one of the biggest choke artists of all time. I mean, obviously the Warriors are stacked and cards stacked against them, but I mean, he's on a great team right now. You got a former champion, Trevor Ariza. You got James Harden, one of the players that has the highest purse of all time. I don't know. So Chris Paul's got to get done. He's got to get past first round. He's got to go to the Western Conference Finals. You know, there's no excuses this year for him. But you know, if him and Durant and Steph Curry go down, one of them, then, I mean, you think you have a series that I think it still goes 6-7 games, and Rockets ultimately win, but, I mean, I think that's 50-50. With Steph Curry and KD, there's no way that they lose in a 7-game series. No way.
Yeah, Freddie, I mean, I talked to a couple people the other day, and I was like, if you had to get an answer out of me, I would say 90% Cavs, Warriors, 4. The only teams that I think that have a fighting chance at dethroning either are, like I mentioned to you, Kyrie, Celtics, just because they're well coached and they have a go-to scorer in Kyrie and he has something to prove. And I also mentioned coaching is a big thing with all this. I also mentioned the San Antonio Spurs because Greg Popovich, I never doubted Greg Popovich coach team. And also, I think that San Antonio has the front court, when healthy, to compete with Golden State, because Golden State at their core is a small ball team. You don't really have, with the exception of JaVale McGee, he's a tall guy, but with the exception of him, you don't really have like that big bruising big man in the middle. And that's why they talk about Golden State has that depth lineup where they could just shift either Durant or Draymond to center in the closing moments. I think if you can beat them up inside, like with a bigger skill front court like Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol, I think you saw that last year in the playoffs too. Like, I believe the San Antonio Spurs, they were up 25 in game one, and then Kawhi lands on that ankle wrong, and the series was wraps after that. So I would say that San Antonio.
Hold up. Kawhi didn't land on the ankle wrong. That was a dirty play.
Well, you said it, not me. I didn't want to say it, but.
Man. Kawhi is Jalen Rose him. Jalen Rose and Kobe, though.
Aw, oh, man.
Jalen Rose just had the ball to admit it. You know, he did it like 10 years after the fact.
Right. Well, you see, hey, I guess when you competed for a chip, man, anything goes. But, you know, I want to see what a healthy San Antonio team or a good, improved Houston team. It's going to be a tough road to go through for Golden State. You mentioned the Oklahoma City Thunder, and their struggles. Me and you touched on this briefly in the pre-show meeting. Do you think that they're struggling because they have the wrong coach? Is Billy Donovan not the type of coach that could, you know, for lack of a better term, reel in three ISO ball dominant players in Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony? Or do you think that it's just simply an issue of fit? Whereas, like, you know, a guy like Kevin Durant was a better fit for Russ because he didn't need the ball in his hands. He was a legit, he could double up either as a rhythm shooter or a spot-up shooter. He could just score at will. Guys like Carmelo and guys like Paul George need the ball in their hand to be as efficient as they can be. So do you think it's more so a coaching issue, or do you think it's just a personnel slash fit issue with that team?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. It's going to be the coach. The reason why Carmelo's locked up for 2 years, he got no trade clause. They're not trading Paul George right now. You know, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. So nobody's going to, you know, trade for him. Nobody walk away after a few months. Additionally, Westbrook is there for an eternity. And, you know, he committed to him forever. So, I mean, that Adam ultimately is going to be the guy to go. If they can't right the ship, you know, he never wants to be there. I'll leave his job, but he's not going to be there. I can tell you that for that 2 months longer if they can't start winning. So, I mean, they got a gel. I mean, you even had, you know, KD lash out in his catfish ordeal.
Oh, man.
You had him lash out after he sticked out of it. And then he came out and said had to say sorry.
Yeah.
For some apparent reason. I don't know why he didn't know me. But anyways, I mean, he's going to have to go. They can't ride the ship.
Yeah,
and,
man.
You know, he's never really done much there. I thought Scott Brooks was an excellent coach. He got the shaft. They should have given him an additional year. They should have given him an additional year. And he just got shafted. And then, you know, made a choice to make some changes. And, well, I mean, then I have to live with those decisions. But, you know, he wished the best for everybody. But I think Billy Donovan ultimately would be fired at the end of the day.
Yeah, man. And, you know, wrapping that topic up, I think a good coach for the Thunder would be someone like a Mark Jackson, someone who will hold his stars accountable. You know,
Fizdale.
Yeah, Fizdale. I was just about to get to him. Like, those two personalities would be a strong coach for that team, because Freddie, you know, it's kind of amazing that Oklahoma City is only a game under 500, man, considering they're a top five defense according to the numbers, and they have that much talent on that team. It really, you know, I'm holding out hope that they figure it out, because I want to see a team like that with that much talent in the playoffs, but they got to get it together, man. Staying in the Western Conference, we're going to go to one of my favorite teams and your favorite team. I would say after the Bulls, the Lakers are my team. So let's talk about the Lakers. You are a diehard Lakers fan. What are you thinking about this team and the organization as a whole right now? We got a lot of good pieces on this team, whether it's Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, etc. Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson, I'll throw in there. We got a lot of good young pieces on this team, man. And the way Magic Johnson has come in and set up this team for the future, where they can get these max stars that they can surround with this young talent and grow for the future. I, as a fan of the Lakers, am very happy about the position they're in, not only as a team, but as an organization. And I wanted to get your opinion on that, since you're a diehard fan. You've been with this rebuild for the last 6 years. So how are you feeling about the Los Angeles Lakers team right now, and what do you see in their future?
I think there's a thin line right now between excitement, but there's a lot of volatility with that excitement. I mean, the decisions that we make at this time are so crucial to the franchise. To me, it's almost scary. You know, what do you do, you know?
Right.
You draft Lonzo, they have to make a decision. Do you draft Lonzo? You have to draft Josh Jackson. I think they ultimately made the right decision for the place that they kept them in. And time will tell. But, Lonzo has struggled for the most part. You know, this year, he's still young. Most of these guys have struggled. You guys have guys like Kuzma, who's a gem. He has no weakness in his game. He can defend. He can defend down low. He can defend at the wing. He can post up. Little guy hook shot. He can shoot the three ball. He can drive. He can pass. He can dribble. He can do it all. So he's amazing. And I wish that was Lonzo. That's what you thought Lonzo was going to be right away. Some petition guys time to develop, because Brandon Ingram, I feel that he's a bust last year. I mean, he's having a hell of a season. I think the next step that he needs to take is have consistency on his game, similar to how Julius Randle's been this year. Julius Randle's first 3 years in the league, you know, he struggled with consistency. He saw flashes of brilliance. This year has become more consistent. I think it's a testament to the work that he put in the summer. Like, his body definitely worked in his game. You can tell he's been a huge factor and contributor to the Lakers season thus far. So, I mean, this is a lot to be excited about, but we have a lot of crucial decisions. Do we sign Julius Randle do we end up signing him to a extension? You know, it's gonna be tough to decide.
Yeah, Freddie, and you know, I like I said, I'm really happy about the young pieces we got. You touched on it briefly about Lonzo's struggles. Me and you have talked about this several times as well. I understand, like, with the scoring and with his aggressiveness, Lonzo is probably struggling. But I like when we look at numbers, it's like I tell people all the time, and you notice about me, I look at it as a whole. I look at it from a perspective. Yes, he's not scoring or shooting as well as we would like, and we anticipated, because he wasn't a bad shooter in college. And yes, he's not as aggressive as we would like, but I look at him as what he is, and that's a point guard. And when I look at him as a point guard, he's always stuffing the stat sheet. He's getting 5-plus assists a game, 5-plus rebounds a game. He's playing defense at a high level. I remember one game earlier this season, he put the clamps on John Wall that sealed the game. John Wall missed a potential game-winning shot. And, you know, he makes the right play. His basketball IQ is through the roof. You saw that, I forgot who the game was. I think it was a home game, or was it against Philadelphia, I believe. He found Brandon Ingram at the end of the game for a wide-open three that sealed it. And he makes those smart basketball plays that you want your point guard to make. I think, coupled with the fact that he's not shooting well, he's not scoring at the rate we would like, and the fact that, you know, LeVar, his father, didn't really do him no favors by saying that he was better than Steph 3 games into his season at college, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's just a lot of pressure on this man to perform, and we're not really appreciating what he's doing as a rookie. We're hammering home the fact that he's not living up to this reputation that his dad's mouth has built up for him. And like you said, I'm glad you said it. Like, it takes time to develop. It took time to develop with Brandon Ingram. It took time to develop with Julius Randle. These guys, you know, unless you're like someone like a LeBron or Kobe or, you know, a Melo, you can't come in the league right away and dominate, man. That's what you call once-in-a-generation type of players right there. It's a small sample size with this draft. And, like, while, you know, there might not be a once-in-a-generation type person in this draft, it's a lot of good all-stars in this draft, man. A lot of good, I want to say, from the first 20 picks, you got six or seven potential all-stars in that group. And that leads me to my next question. Yeah, oh, Jason Tatum, man. Like, he's one of the best players on the contending team right now. Like, you just confirmed that for me. Like, these guys, they come in the league and they got to find their role first. They got to find their comfort zone first. And, you know, like me and you talked about the draft, we talked about the young talent. I'm going to give you a couple names right now. Ben Simmons, Lonzo Ball, Dennis Smith Jr., Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, Lauri Markkanen. You mentioned Jackson earlier, Jason Tatum. Who do you think is the best rookie out of that class? First, I know Simmons wasn't drafted. Oh, well, yeah.
Or Embiid.
What's up?
Simmons or Embiid. Did you mention Embiid?
Yeah.
That class?
Are they considering Embiid a rookie still?
You're saying this rookie class right now. Okay.
Right. But, you know, even with Simmons, like, I threw him in there because he's still technically considered a rookie because he missed his whole first year. So, like,
yeah, he was a rookie last year.
Right. And
yeah, Embiid was.
Right.
Simmons out of this class, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
The only downfall to his game is he can't shoot. But he knows he can't shoot. He doesn't try to shoot because it wouldn't be efficient. So, I mean, that's where Lonzo maybe has to take until he can get that shot fixed. You know, that's the team to shoot those open threes when you're not going to make them for the most part. He hasn't been. You know, if he starts hitting them, you know, then we can have another conversation. But, I mean, right. It's going to be critical for the Lakers just to at least hover around 500. They can't keep losing unless that's something that you want to have a culture of doing. You know, take a while to win, but we've been waiting for 4 years now. They can't keep waiting.
Right. Yeah, man, I agree with you. And, like, I actually told you, I could see the Lakers sneaking in as an eighth seed. And they're hovering around for that last playoff spot, man. I want to say they're 2.5 games back now. And, like, a lot of these teams you're seeing, whether it's Oklahoma City, whether it's Utah, whether it's Denver, I believe, like, they've all, like, kind of hit a wall. And they've lost, like, 3 or 4 or 5 games in a row. And, like, that in Portland. And Portland's hit a wall, too. So those 5 through 8 seeds in the West are pretty much up for grabs, man. You with me, Freddie?
Yep, right. I'm here.
Yeah, so those 5 or 8 seeds are pretty much up for grabs. And if the Lakers can catch fire and if Lonzo's shooting can get better as the season goes on, they can definitely sneak into the playoffs because they're well coached, like I said, and they have a lot of young pieces. So we talked about the top rookies, the top young players in the league. I want to put you on the spot now, and I want you to be honest as possible. I want you to be as honest as possible. I want you to give me your top 10 players in the league right now.
Number 1 is LeBron.
Okay.
Number 1A is KD.
All right, I got you.
Then I would go James Harden.
Okay.
Then I'll go Steph Curry.
Steph, okay.
Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
How many is that? Is that 5 or 6?
That's 5. You said Bron, you said KD, you said Harden, Westbrook, and Steph.
Then I would go Anthony Davis.
Ooh, good choice.
This is where it gets tough.
Yeah, man.
This is where it gets tough. But I'd probably put in Chris Paul.
Okay.
Man, it's so tough. Man, you could even... he's not there yet.
You wanted to say Giannis, didn't you?
No. Yeah, it's actually yes. He's next. Giannis, he's next. That's 8.
Yeah, that's 8. 2 more spots. Who they going to, Freddie J?
Man, I don't know.
Kyrie, yeah.
And round top 10.
I think you're missing a big one from the West, man. Boogie?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I feel you on that one. You know, that's the best big man in the game. I'll give you that one. I'll give you DeMarcus Cousins. I think, though, if I had to replace anyone, I'd take out probably Chris Paul or Giannis, whoever won, and I'd replace him with Kawhi.
Oh. Actually, let me start over. See, I forgot about him because he's been hurt.
Right.
I had him on my fantasy team, actually. And I actually ended up trading him because, you know, he hasn't been playing. Now, of course, he comes back the other day.
Right.
Yesterday. But, yeah, I had to redo that. You know, first with LeBron, then it's KD. Then it's Kawhi, then Steph. I think Kawhi has a bigger impact on the game than Steph just because he gets to play on both sides of the ball.
Right.
And then, I mean, that pushes Boogie out of the top 10, obviously. But all my other people would slide accordingly.
Yeah, man, that your top 10 was actually close to who I had in mind. I actually had Boogie in the top 10. Like I told you, I think he's the best big in the game when you think back to the basket or who could stretch out and shoot it. Like, I think he's probably the most underrated star in the league. And I like that you put Westbrook, Steph. Like, I think Steph's getting to that point now where he's underappreciated too. But, those are... I don't think you'll get much of an argument from anyone else about the top 10 players in the league, the ones you just named. It's tough, man, because it's all speculative. Like I know you admitted LeBron is like 1 and KD's 1A, and some people might flip them, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah, I mean, you can go wrong with either one of them.
Right, yeah. Well, you see, like we touched on it earlier, man. LeBron doing what he's doing in year 15 is insane. But I think that's what, you know, when you're blessed with the genetics he's blessed with, when you're just bigger, stronger, and faster than anybody, I think it's the game comes to you a lot easier, especially considering...
Never been hurt.
What's up?
Never been hurt.
Oh, dude, and we got to talk about that because he is blessed. He's never, out of that draft class, LeBron, Bosh, Wade, Melo, I think out of those four players... He has never been hurt. Every one of those players except him have had a major injury at some point. That's insane, man. And
wasn't Chris Paul in that class as well, or was he different?
Chris Paul, I believe, was 2005.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I think he was the fourth pick in that draft, too. Chris Paul was 05.
The Hornets.
Yeah, man, yeah.
The Orleans Hornets.
And, but it's cool. Like, a lot of people, of course, they're the Banana Boat crew. So, you put them together. Even Chris Paul's had major injuries, man. He's had problems with his knee and his ankle. I remember, I was actually in college. I was watching a game against the Bulls. He tore his knee up in a game against them. I remember that like it was yesterday. And, like, the fact that, LeBron... I mean, he's breaking down. Like, he's had these, like, minor injuries, whether it's his back or his ankle, as you've seen. Like, but you could just attribute that to normal wear and tear as you get older. He's never missed a huge chunk of the season because he was injured. Yeah.
Never broke a bone, nothing.
Right.
Man.
He's blessed, man. And, you know, but, you know, that's gonna lead to the question where I want to wrap up our show with, and I know this is one that you're gonna have a lot of fun with. It's a debate that everyone would like to have. When you think of my generation, your generation, I'm saying from like let's go 2004 until 2015, so or you could do the present, whatever. Who do you think is the best player of our generation?
Well,
you
gotta finish this question.
It's
Kobe Bean Bryant.
Yeah, I have to ask you, man. I knew the answer, but I have to ask you because I want my listeners to hear. Kobe Bean Bryant. Give me your reason, man.
Disrespect of the Mamba on this show.
Oh, yeah, I do. You know I say Kobe is the best player of my generation all the time. I'm saying you a guest on my show. I wanted to get your choice for it. I want you to give my listeners a reason, because they a lot of people seem to not agree with that. Why is Kobe Bean Bryant the best player of our generation? We know it, but explain it to people who might not be a witness. You get that?
Jealousy.
But, I mean, hey, man. What Mike say? 5v3?
You can't battle somebody that just has the drive and passion to push people to do something.
Right.
To push people to do something. And they don't, but if I get them out of here, you know, I hold everybody to the standards that I'm at. I'm working my ass off. And if you don't want to be here, get down out. You ain't going to work. I mean, he was just kind of a loner just because of the way he grew up.
Right.
If you ever look at his background, you know, he's a African American boy. You know, the way he gets shipped off, and with that overseas, you know, he's blessed to have a father that played professionally, so he got to see his out of the game. But, I mean, he wasn't overly crazy, athletically gifted like Vince Carter or LeBron James. I mean, he had to work. I mean, he had the height. But he was skinny. Look at Kobe when he came in the league.
Right.
195, 200, he was like 200, dripping wet. He was like 200, 205, dripping wet. He put on some muscle once he got to the league. So, I mean, and then the way he took his journey to the game, all the things he had to deal with, I just loved his career. Whereas LeBron his career is so different than anything we've ever seen before. I'm not about the team hopping. I'm a loyalist. Kobe had the top teams. Think of the championships he could have won.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people, you know what people going to say. Well, Kobe played with Shaq, you know, the most dominant. First of all, as much as I love Shaq, I'm a big Shaq fan. You can make the case that he wasn't even the best big man of our generation. People can make the case that it was Tim Duncan. If you want to count rings and you want to count, you know, consistency and, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, people, so, you know, that's that argument. Oh, he played with Shaq or his head coach was with Phil. I like to point out that, you know, Kobe won two more rings without another superstar on his team. I don't, and this is no disrespect towards Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol is a future Hall of Famer. He's a star player. But at no point in his career was Pau Gasol considered a superstar player. Can we agree on that?
Never a superstar player.
Right. So the two rings.
Superstar, let's define that. Just so everybody knows, a superstar is somebody blockbuster. Somebody you paid the Dallas for to go see. I'm not just playing. I don't know. That superstar, people did go pay to go see Tim Duncan, so no one disrespects him. But I mean, Tim Duncan's not the most exciting kind of guy.
Right.
Not, but he's still a superstar just because of his. More so because of his legacy and his way it went. But I mean, the difference is integral between a superstar and an all-star. You just gotta define that without a doubt.
Right, there's a difference between Dwayne Wade in his prime and Pau Gasol in his prime.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, so, and you know, I try to point that out to people, like, when Kobe won those two rings. You know, a lot of people talk about LeBron going, I think it's 6 or 7, 8 straight finals. That team that Kobe was on went the 3 straight finals. Like, they had that one year where they lost to the Celtics. Then they came back and beat Orlando. Then he came back and beat Boston in the rematch. So, went the 3 straight finals during that time, 1-2. And on all 3 teams, his second best player was Pau Gasol. So, he wasn't having a guy like Dwayne Wade, to a lesser extent Chris Bosh, and then down the line Ray Allen. There was, you know, at best, there was only one other Hall of Famer on that team with Kobe, and that was Powell. I don't know. I doubt that Lamar Odom gets in. I doubt that Ron Artest, you know, guys like that get in. Those were some good Lakers teams that Kobe played on, though. And again, like, I think the better comparison, man, is LeBron and Kobe. I don't really like that everyone are just, they're so... They're so quick to compare people to Michael. Like, it was hard to live up to the standard that Michael set in terms of competitiveness, dominance, and just skill. And I think that's why you saw Kobe model his game after Michael, because he saw that, man, this is how the game is truly, this is how the game should truly be played. And Kobe modeled his game after that, and Kobe became one of the most dominant players ever. Like, he passed Michael in scoring, and he can get, like, on any given night, man, 40. Like, a lot of people say, can you give me 25 on any given night? Can you give me 30 on any given? Kobe can get you 40 on any given night. I mean, I think that was evident. Like, you know, he has the second highest scoring game in NBA
Kobe
history.
Kobe can get you 60 on any given night.
He averaged 60 in his last game. He got you 60 in his last game, man. Dude.
I mean, I don't know if that took him 50 shots, but. That's a bad example.
Well, he got 81. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
nice.
Yeah,
I remember that day.
Oh, man, dude, you can't tell me nothing about Kobe, man. Like,
I listened to it on the radio.
Word.
Back in the day, you know, we didn't have it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I didn't have the interviews. I didn't watch the game. I just heard on the radio, oh, Kobe, you know, he's getting 60-something in the fourth quarter. I turned the radio on so you can listen to it on ESPN radio. Oh, man, I go crazy up streaming. My mom was like, boy, you better not get yelling like that again. I'll kick you out of this house.
Oh, that's a good story right there, Freddie, man. And that's what it's all about, man. We watch our favorite players growing up. We have those memories that we share. And, you know, a lot of my memories, obviously, as I grew up and I was able to appreciate the game more, that's when Michael was on his way out. I refused to acknowledge his 2-year stint with the Wizards. I like to relive the memories of him as a Chicago Bull. But as I grew to appreciate the game, it got no better than watching the Lakers with Kobe, Shaq, and watching them go against guys like, you know, AI, and go up against the Kings, which is one of the most underrated rivalries of the 2000s of the NBA, the Lakers and the Kings, man. And, you know, I think that's what it's all about right there, man. Growing up with these guys and, like, watching them and them giving us memories through their play. And so we know where you stand when it comes to the best player of our generation, and that is one Kobe Bean Bryant. Freddie, I would like to thank you for joining my show. My listeners, if you want to follow Freddie, follow him on Twitter, @ThirstyMamba, all one word. And Freddie, I would like to say thank you again for joining my show, man. It was truly entertaining. Got a lot of good stuff out of you, and I know my listeners are in for a treat. Before I let you go, I just wanted to give you the floor right now. Update us on what you got going on, and what plans you got for the future, my man.
Man,
it's
been great. It's been a pleasure to be on the show. I'm grateful, thankful. I don't know what else to say. Thanks, DBJ.
Hey, man.
That rhymes a little bit.
Yeah, man, you got bars.
Continue to grind, continue to make money, continue to improve. Always, just like Kobe would say.
Yeah, man, absolutely, man. You got a Kobe challenge for everybody?
Run a marathon.
All right, man. I think that's actually a good one. I think, and when they traded for it, they can listen to this show, man, because this was truly a dope one right here, man.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate you joining me, Freddie J. Thank you, man. That was awesome stuff, man.
Yeah, man.